Hi, I'm Rob Wright with CRN, and this is the latest CRN podcast. I'm here with Kristen Bent. Kristen, thanks for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
We are here to discuss the mobility trend and smartphones and mobile devices and mobile apps and all their glory. And specifically, we want to talk about Research in Motion and BlackBerry. You've done a lot on BlackBerry, Research in Motion, RIM as we'll call them, and a lot of the changes that they've undergone recently, they've kind of come under a fair amount of criticism for sort of falling behind in the mobile market, which is really incredible. And they're really under a lot of pressure these days. They've made a management change, they've made some updates to some of their products, but they're really under a lot of pressure, a lot of criticism with the rise of Apple and its iOS platform, and of course Google's Android and the number of mobile device makers that have embraced Android. Kristen, let's start off with sort of the most recent news with RIM. They had sort of a big update, correct?
They did. So yesterday they came out with an update to their operating system for their Playbook tablet. So the first generation of that operating system, BlackBerry Playbook OS 1.0, was under fire for a couple of different things. The biggest was the fact that it didn't come equipped with native email. So
it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. And so essentially what users would have to do, RIM first made the assumption that everyone using a BlackBerry Playbook would also have a BlackBerry smartphone.
Yeah.
And so to get the email on the Playbook tablet, you would manually have to hook it up to your BlackBerry smartphone. And then through this little bridge that they have, this application, the BlackBerry Bridge app, you would have to transfer your native email, calendar, and contact apps over to your tablet. So obviously, not ideal, and that was something that was, like I said, really under fire there. So yesterday, they came out with the update, BlackBerry Playbook OS 2.0, and that problem is now supposedly fixed. So it'll come equipped with native email, native calendar, contact apps, which is great. It looks like folks are happy about that. The other big thing is the, you know, app world kind of in general. When you look at the massive number of apps that, you know, Google and Apple are offering, and obviously apps are huge. I mean, they're becoming bigger than the hardware itself.
Yes.
And
that's
so,
an excellent point.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, solution providers and consumers alike have noticed, you know, that RIM is sort of lacking. And so again, with this update, in addition to that native email piece, they said that they were, you know, making an effort to broaden the BlackBerry app world, and even bring in some Android apps, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
They didn't specify exactly how many Android apps would be brought over. But basically, any Android applications that can be ported over to the BlackBerry Playbook platform and have been approved by BlackBerry App World will eventually make their way into App World and be available for the Playbook. So we'll see how it turns out. But I mean, looking at, you know, initial reactions, it seems people are pretty happy with at least those two updates.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I remember, not this past CES, but a year ago, so 2011 CES, that was when the BlackBerry Playbook was on its first public display. And, you know, I remember having a tour of the device at RIM's booth, very sizable booth in Las Vegas. And that was kind of like the year of the tablet. You know, everybody was kind of racing, you know, to have some type of tablet device to compete with the iPad. The iPad had come out the previous spring. And a lot of people were looking at, you know, the Playbook and RIM to really have something interesting, because they were a mobile device maker. They were not a PC company. They had perfected the smartphone. I mean, really, when you think about it, like, they were sort of the originator of this smartphone. And a lot, I mean, I don't know if you remember this. I'm a Generation X guy, so this is like firmly entrenched in my brain. Like, when RIM first started out, like, they made an email device. Like, it wasn't a phone. It was just an email. Like,
yeah, like a two-way pager.
It was
email.
Incredible. It was like it was just the craziest thing. I mean, people, like, they could barely wrap their heads around it when RIM first came out with this thing. Like, the BlackBerry, it's an email device. You can do email anywhere. Like, take it with you. It's amazing. And then when they added phone capability to it, it was just like, wow, this is just incredible. And there's a reason why they called it like the Crackberry, because people couldn't get enough of it. And but then to see them come out, you know, in 2011 with the playbook and then have it not have it have email, like that is their legacy. Like that's how they started. It was an email device, and it just blew me away. And the funny thing was playing around with it in Vegas and just like handling it. It was a really well-made device, but you know, our colleague Ed Molson, managing director of a CRN test center, in his review, like, it's a solid device, he said, but it just doesn't have any apps. If it can get those apps, and if it can get a little bit more functionality that people have become accustomed to for BlackBerry device, the smartphone, then you're really talking about something that could fit in that niche, sort of that enterprise tablet niche. And that was the thing that was crazy to me was that to not have native email support for something that you had to know if you were at RIM, like that would appeal to the enterprise sort of user. And that's the interesting thing that's going on like in the smartphone market, the mobile device market right now. Like we've seen so much going on with like the consumerization of IT. I know you've worked tirelessly on that trend and written a lot about it. It's like you said, it's almost more about the apps now and less so the device, and there still is not that sort of enterprise or business oriented, business focused, like, you know, tablet device that is filling that need. A lot of people are flocking to the iPad because it's the most popular, it's out there, it's got good apps, and it's seen as being a lot more secure than an Android or a Windows device, which I'm sure it is. In the work that you've done and looking at RIM, like, do you think, just in talking to solution providers and guys out there that are involved with them or that use BlackBerry, like, what do you think it is that's like holding them back that they really need to do? I mean, is it just the apps, or are there other things that are sort of where they're sort of challenged?
So the application ecosystem is definitely something huge and something that a lot of people have criticized them for, like I said, not broadening that app world enough. But the other thing, and it's pretty simple when you think of it, is just an overall lack of innovation.
Yeah.
I've had solution providers say, you know, it's a good device, it's secure, it does what it's meant to do, but at the end of the day, if you hold a BlackBerry today and you hold one from, 5 years ago next to each other, you can barely tell a difference.
Yeah, it's true.
And especially if they want to start making their way into the consumer market, as opposed to their more traditional enterprise market, I mean, that's huge. Half of the reason, I mean, you look at an iPhone and it just looks so cool and so sleek. And I think that, it seems like something so simple, but it really does pay off in the long run. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I think, so we're in 2012 now. So 5 years ago, I think, 2007, God, you were probably in college. Are you technically a millennial? Because I'm a Gen, I'm a Gen Xer. But no, for real. Like, 5 years ago, I remember this very vividly. Everybody in my office was, they were all about BlackBerry. And I remember I think it was the BlackBerry, I'm trying to remember the name of the model. Maybe it was the Bold. But I think it had just come out around that time, and Samsung came out with, I think it was the BlackBerry, or no, sorry, the BlackJack. And RIM got really ticked off, because if you held a BlackJack up to a BlackBerry, they looked identical. Uh-huh. And as you know today, Samsung is involved in some patent infringement or copyright infringement issues with Apple, because Apple's saying that its tablet and smartphones are being copied by Samsung. The Samsung Galaxy Tab and Samsung Galaxy Phone look exactly like the iPhone and the iPad. It's very interesting. So 5 years ago, Samsung was kind of emulating, we'll say emulating, we'll be PC here. They were emulating, a different company. They were emulating RIM, because that was sort of the standard. Like, it was that sort of mini keyboard for your thumbs. The little button in the middle to navigate the display browser. It was a small screen, but back then that's all you really thought you needed.
Right.
You didn't know. And now today it's like you've got 5-inch mobile devices. Mm-hmm. It's not just, smartphones now. Now you have these hybrid devices that are even bigger and everything's touchscreen. And it's like BlackBerry just kind of missed that boat. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a turning point, because I think 2007 was the spring, maybe, mm-hmm. that the iPhone came out, and it really just kind of changed everything. And it was really incredible just to see how everything kind of changed so quickly with that, like what people were used to, because everybody was kind of used to, and people can't see what I'm doing, but I'm doing the thumb typing, which I hate. I never did that. I always did like the single, you know, index finger on a touchpad. I hated the thumb thing. And my hands are huge. I've got like gorilla hands. But, you know, it just, that, I think you're right. Like, I think RIM was out there early with the BlackBerry, and people got used to it. But then, you know, the other vendors, Apple being obviously the leader, saw sort of a better way to kind of, mm-hmm. you know, make a mobile device. And I guess RIM kind of stubbornly stuck with its model. And you're right. You look at the device today and you look at it from 5 years ago, and it's pretty much the same. I mean, they've made changes. They've added dual core processors, yada, 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 mm-hmm. all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, when it comes to the hardware, I think it's more about usability. I mean, people don't really complain. Like, I don't sit here and complain. Like, I was using a Gen 1 iPhone until, you know, 6 months ago, mm-hmm. or whatever. So what do I know? But, like, I was using my Gen 1 iPhone. And I was like, oh, my God, this thing is so slow. Mm-hmm. I was saying, oh, the service stinks because it's AT&T or whatever. Right. And I don't get enough wireless coverage. But I wasn't complaining about the speed of it. And it really is about usability now. And, you know, it. Yeah, you're right. It does matter, too, about, like, does it look nice? Mm-hmm. Does it feel nice when mm-hmm. when I'm holding it? Like, that does go a long way for impressing people, even people in the enterprise mm-hmm. and the commercial space.
Right.
You've written a lot about consumerization of IT, mm-hmm. and this, obviously, like, the mobile trend is a huge part of it. I mean, arguably, it is driving it. I mean, it is, you know, the bring-your-own-device thing starts with smartphones, I think. So what have you found, like, in just discussing that with people, like, is security a big, you know, obstacle, or is it mm-hmm. top of people's minds? I mean, a lot of people are using Android devices, so I can't believe that it's like security is that important, mm-hmm. but, you know, what have the people that you talk to, what are they saying about that?
Yeah, so I guess the first thing, you know, we hear about it all the time, we read about it, we write about it, and it's definitely happening. It might not be happening quite as quickly as some of us think. You know, I've talked sure. to some solution providers who say, yeah, you know, we're starting to get more and more phone calls about it, about, hey, you know, we just got these new iPhones. How do I get my email on them? How do I, you know, make sure the networking is there? But it's not quite yet this big booming transition. I think eventually it will be, but we're still kind of warming up to it.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, as it grows, I mean, security is absolutely going to be a huge issue.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, that's sort of where RIM may have a leg up. It's interesting because they're sort of in a weird in between where they're, you know, that there's obviously a need for them to branch out and try to appeal to that consumer market where yeah. they haven't traditionally had a space. However, you know, some solution providers feel that it may be their best bet just to stick with their roots. You know, yeah. they've always had with the BlackBerry Enterprise Server, they've always had a really robust security offering. And so they're kind of in this in-between spot where, you know, I feel like they're trying to struggle to meet the consumer needs. But at the same time, you don't want to completely neglect, you know, what
your
you've
roots.
Done right for
yeah.
so long. And, you know, with the upcoming BlackBerry Mobile Fusion mobile device management solution that
oh,
they're
right.
launching
yeah,
this
yeah.
year, yeah,
yeah.
It not only will it support BlackBerries,
yeah.
but iOS and Android devices
that's
too.
Neat.
So
yeah.
in a way, they're almost not admitting defeat, but they're acknowledging that they're not the only ones in the enterprise anymore, and
yeah.
they got to do something to fit that model. So
it's interesting. I think it was, I don't know if it was 2 years ago, maybe almost 2 years ago, there was an issue. It was before you were here at CRN, but you might have heard about it. There was an issue where a couple of countries over in the Middle East, I believe it started with the United Arab Emirates. I think it was the first one to complain. They were worried that they were going to shut off BlackBerry service in the country because the enterprise server, you know, was so secure that they couldn't, like, they literally could not, you know, like get into encrypted emails, and they
wow.
were worried about, like, national security,
yep.
like, what are people saying, like, whether it was, you know, terrorist threats or you know, just dissidents, who knows? But, you know, they said, listen, they said to RIM, you have to open up your enterprise server and let us like see unencrypted, like the unencrypted emails going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And RIM fought them on this, and this went on for like, I think it started in the summer, maybe 2010, and went into like into the fall. And there were a couple other countries I think that joined in. India had said the same thing. They were like, look, we, you know, you're too secure and we can't see what people are saying, so we want you to unwrap the, you know, take the encryption off so that we can have access to it, so we see what people are saying about us, you know, because we're very worried about, I don't know, revolutionaries or who knows, you know, communists or whatever. Not communists, what is this, the 60s? But yeah, I mean, that like, obviously, the government action was I don't think it put BlackBerry or RIM in a bad light. If anything, I think it was kind of interesting, right, like that they held out. I think they finally came to an accord where the countries, I think, dropped their petitions to, you know, or dropped their threats to get the service shut off in the countries. And as far as I know, BlackBerry still operates in both those countries today. And I don't think they've been shut off, but it was kind of interesting. Like, they had a real opportunity to kind of take that and be like, see, you know, we're so secure that not even these governments, these, mm-hmm, not even their secret service can crack them and get in and see your emails. And like, it was interesting. It was almost like a missed opportunity. And it was kind of portrayed as more of like a controversy, like, oh my God, BlackBerry might get shut off. It's really, right, bad for them. But, and I, you know, I remember thinking that at the time, but later on I'm thinking, man, like, that's really good. Like, if I'm an enterprise user, if I'm a company, mm-hmm, like, why would I even look at Apple or Android? Like, why wouldn't I just stick with BlackBerry and know that my information has, like, arguably the highest level of security possible? But now, like, you're right. Like, even if they are in that enterprise space still, and they are, like, when's the last time you saw a commercial or a consumer branding for their devices? Like, I can't even remember. It's years.
Right.
Where they've, you know, had these sort of flashy commercials with the catchy songs and the, you know, and the sleek looking device, mm-hmm, and they've pitched it to, you know, sort of your general end user. They don't really do that. And now they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, because you can't really sell, like, no one cares. Like, the average user doesn't care about BlackBerry Enterprise Server, and my email's not going to get looked at by the government.
I mean, they probably haven't even, why would you have even heard about a Black, if you're not, you know, using it, if you're just, yeah, your average consumer, why, sure, would you even, you're right, why would you care?
Sure, yeah, and it's just, it's you're kind of at the point now where it's like, you know, security is can only take you so far, even in that enterprise sort of market. Mm-hmm. Because now I had a discussion when I was at CES. I spoke with the CIO of SAP. SAP, big enterprise software maker. We cover them, write a lot of stuff about them. They're an enterprise company too. And their CIO, Oliver Bussman, was explaining to me at the event that, you know, he was giving a panel discussion about the consumerization of IT and mobile trends. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said was, you know, they were seeing at SAP a lot of people bring in Apple devices. It was the preferred device. So they said, well, we've got to do something about this. We have to either, like, you know, tell them not to bring these things in, or we have to allow them to bring them in, encourage them, and then sync them, mm-hmm, get apps on them, mm-hmm, make sure they're secure, and use that to our advantage, make our employees more productive, mm-hmm, with these things. And I remember he told me straight up, he said, people were bringing in Apple devices, and we felt like it, you know, it was more secure than Android, and that's what we ended up going with. And I asked him about the alternatives, and he said, Android's really popular, but that we have some security concerns, and, mm-hmm, we just allowed Samsung devices, Android devices in, because we were able to work with them to make sure that we could put, you know, extra security layers on there, mm-hmm, and make sure that, you know, we didn't have to worry about that malware stuff as much. But, you know, everything else, Windows, BlackBerry, was just an afterthought. No one wanted to bring those devices, and no one was seeking out those brands. And it was kind of interesting. It was, you know, 5 years ago, it probably would have been a different story, but, yeah, today, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to a point, though, that you brought up earlier about, you know, RIM saying that it's, you know, about the app, what do they call it, the app world.
Yep.
Now, you did a story recently about how they said that, you know, to developers at their, what was it, their DEF CON event, I think, in
Europe. It was DEF CON, yep, in Europe.
Yeah, and the new CEO, I'm going to butcher his name.
Torsten Hines.
There we go. See, I'm glad you're here. now, Hines said that to the developers in the audience, he said, you know, hitch your wagon to our
after giving them free playbooks.
Yes, gave them free playbooks. That's the thing, is you always, whenever you have an event, you've got to give people free tablets now.
Swag.
Like, we, you know, we had our exchange event last August in Denver, and, you know, HP came out and did a big keynote thing, and then they handed out, you know, hundreds of touchpads to everybody, and then a couple weeks later, touchpad was killed and discontinued. But whatever, I mean, like, they, you know, touchpad... Right. For a couple of days there, it burned bright, you know, and the brighter you burn, quicker you blame out, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, you got to give those tablets out to the you know, the developers and the solution providers to get them jazzed about it. Mm-hmm. But he said that, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, hitch your wagon to our, you know, app world star, because you're going to make more money with us than you will with anybody else. Mm-hmm. And he had some stats that were interesting he threw out. I guess Rim is saying that revenue per app for BlackBerry apps in the App World Store it's about $9,200, I think, per app that's generated. And you compare that to Apple, which is apparently around $6,500. So, you know, a significant margin there. And then Android was only about $1,200 or $1,500. Mm-hmm. Per app that it was generating. So those are pretty good numbers for RIM. Now, I will say that there's a catch there. Mm-hmm. Android, I think the majority, I think two-thirds majority of their apps are free. So obviously that's going to skew the figures down towards a lower price point, you know, per app. And then also, I think RIM, they must be getting a lot of, like, more enterprise or sort of business-focused apps on their devices, I'm guessing.
Yeah, for sure.
That people are actually going to pay for. They're not like, you know, games and sort of throwaway apps that you can download for free. So that's probably, I'm guessing that's probably going to skew it a little bit. Do you think that they can sway developers? I mean, it seems like from what I've heard, the dev kit for the BlackBerry platform, it's pretty easy to use. It's pretty easy to get an app on App World. They don't make it too restrictive. I know Apple's come under fire for stuff like that. Do you think that they can kind of lure people with that promise of, hey, you know, if you're a solution provider or you're just a software dev, make a BlackBerry app, you're going to make more money with us than you would with the other guys?
Mm-hmm. Well, according to BlackBerry, or according to RIM rather, you know, they're saying that at least in Europe, their subscriber base grew by 75% last year.
Wow.
There are approximately 6 million BlackBerry developers in Europe.
Okay.
So it's pretty big there, you know, but in the States, it's a little bit different, and I think it's sort of, I've talked to solution providers who have ID'd it as kind of a chicken and an egg thing. So, you know, to attract new developers, you know, money can help, but without this huge, you know, really kind of snazzy operating system like iOS, obviously people are so hyped up about it, Android. Without that, you know, monetary incentive can only go so far.
Yeah.
So it might be hard to attract developers, especially new developers, to develop for BlackBerry App World. That said, the reverse side is that without all of those developers, App World's never going to grow. So it's just kind of this cyclical motion of, you got to get the developers to build up the App World.
Yeah.
You got to build up the App World to get the developers.
Yeah. Because you're in a situation then where, like, you know, if you are a solution, like, let's say you're a solution provider and you're trying to build some custom mobile apps that are cloud enabled for, you know, an enterprise customer, and they've got, you know, one third of their end users use Android, one third of their end users or their employees rather use Apple, and one third uses BlackBerry. Like, I can see people getting excited to kind of, you know, do an Android app or do an Apple app, but then you kind of gotta wonder, like, okay, if I'm the solution provider, even though there's an even breakdown, 33, 33, 33 in this business, like how, like you're looking at a smaller total addressable market out there for BlackBerry apps than you are for the other two. Mm-hmm. So even if you make it, even if it's like split, or even if you have a majority of BlackBerry users in that particular customer, what about the next one? Mm-hmm. It's a narrower market. So there's right. not as many people to like, you know, to get that app out to mm-hmm. as the others. Now, and there's some interesting stats again, where they said, I think AppWorld now has about 60,000 apps mm-hmm. Out there right now. And I think there's, they said 2 million downloads since the AppWorld store was introduced. So those are respectable numbers. Mm-hmm. But then you look at like what Apple
right.
and Android and
Google have.
I mean, Apple has, I think, over 500,000 mm-hmm. apps, if I remember correctly. And I think you have the stats somewhere, but mm-hmm. if I'm wrong, correct me.
No, yep, that's right.
And then I think Android, as of the beginning of this year in January, I think it was somewhere around 400,000. So mm-hmm. not too far behind. You compare that with 60,000, and it's, yeah, I mean, how many apps can you have on your phone? I get it. Like, and I'm not an app guy. Like, I don't have that many apps mm-hmm. on my iPhone to begin with, because I actually still use it as a phone first. Just
no.
crazy. Well, I don't have a house
novel
phone.
Concept.
Yeah, I don't have a house phone. So, you know, you got to make sacrifices. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because it's like you're in a situation where if you're a developer, you have to kind of like you. I'll liken this. Let me geek out here for a moment, but I'll liken this to the video game market. It's like you have a Wii, you have a 360, and you have a PS3, and you're a small game developer. It's like you have three platforms that are all significant, but if you only could make, like if you were a gun to your head and you only had enough manpower and resources to make one app for one mobile platform, it's not going to be like, it's probably not going to be BlackBerry. It's going
right.
to be Apple or Android right now, because mm-hmm. they're hot and they're bigger. And like in the video game market, you have, you know, these struggling small indie developers are like, man, I can only pick one. Like, what do I do? I'll probably go with Xbox, because that's, you know, that's got the biggest install, or doesn't have the biggest install base, but it's the most popular right now, mm-hmm. and it's selling better than the other two. So I'll go with that one. Like, you have to make sacrifices. And for solution providers, you know, these guys are like, I mean, they're working hard to stay ahead of the game, and they can't just be throwing resources and be like, I think you know, we'll make an Android app and we'll make a BlackBerry app too. Like,
right.
if it's worth making, you got to put the resources and the time mm-hmm. into it. You can't just say like, well, I'll just turn it around really quickly and throw it out there on the store and do no promotion and not do any customization and not do any like customer feedback mm-hmm. and see if it does anything. Well, it's probably not going to do anything. So
right.
you have to make a commitment to it. And it just feels like, unless BlackBerry, like you said, unless they do something to really get people interested in it,
mm-hmm.
like the revenue figure alone, you know, that lure of making more money is not going to be enough,
mm-hmm.
I think. I think you're right about that. Let's turn to, I guess, let's move away from BlackBerry for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to consumerization of IT
mm-hmm.
and tablets. Like, are you seeing from the people that you talk to, like, you know, is there any interest in BlackBerry tablet? Like, as a device, do you think, like, the 2.0 update is going to get, like, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to set the world on fire, even though it's adding native.
It's better.
Native
it's
email
it's
support.
A step in the right
yeah.
direction for sure. But I mean, I think overwhelmingly the tablets that we see going into enterprises today are Android and
yeah.
and Apple, and you know, we'll see. And BlackBerry on the smartphone side of things too. You know, BlackBerry 10, another new operating system, is due out shortly. And
yeah.
So we'll see how that fares, which I'm sure explains a lot of their, you know, reaching out to developers and kind of trying to sway
sure.
them onto their side.
Because sure.
it's sort of a make or break release for them at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, all eyes are going to be on it, and it'll be a big factor for them. So we'll see.
Do you, now let me ask you your personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
What do you use? What is your phone?
it's
no,
a,
seriously.
It's a BlackBerry.
It's a BlackBerry. Okay.
I
don't want to embarrass you.
No,
you
not at all.
You shouldn't feel embarrassed.
You know, it's, I gotta
but
say,
you
the
speak
thing
from,
about BlackBerry.
You speak from experience, so
the
that's
thing
why
about BlackBerry
yeah.
phones that I like And granted, I have very small hands, so the small buttons, I they work
well
for me.
You're the opposite of me. I have gorilla hands.
But I like having a keyboard. Yeah. I mean, I don't get me wrong, the iPhone's great. You know, I'll probably move to that next, admittedly. But, you know, it's I like having something to type on. That said, the I mean, the web, like browsing the web is sort of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Does a couple other things that I'm not really thrilled about. But I do have a BlackBerry, and I still see him, you know, from time and time again. But,
no, I do too.
I'm sort of secretly, you know, rooting for them to at least.
I think a lot of people are. I think there is something too that, both your points about the people that have the long time BlackBerry users. I think are married to the keyboard. I think they like the keyboard. They want to keep that. And I think there is some loyalty there. And I also think there are some people out there who are kind of, maybe I'm emoting too much. I'm assuming that people feel like I do, but they're kind of sick of Google and Apple right now.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true.
That they kind of, you know, Rim is now the underdog. Mm-hmm. You know, the cute little Canadian company, the little engine that could, and they used to dominate the market, and now, you know, they're kind of back on their heels. They're kind of in the corner, getting pounded on. I wanted to ask you this, to kind of close it out with this. Obviously, they have a new CEO with Heinz. Their two previous co-CEOs, which I never understood, sort of the co-CEO. I'm not sure how the decision-making process went with that. Those guys are out. The stories that you've written, what you've heard from Rim, what does it seem like is going on? Because I know when Heinz first came in, he basically said, I'm not going, don't expect any crazy
seismic changes.
Earthquakes.
Which I think everyone gasped at.
And everyone was like, what are you crazy? Like, we need something to shake things up. Like, start shaking the earth, you know, make some earthquakes. Now kind of where are they at? It sounds like they're looking at maybe.
So they are.
Being a little bit more drastic.
Heinz, after you know, saying in the initial conference call, kind of announcing his appointment as CEO, he you know, that's when he said no seismic changes are planned.
Sure.
I believe in this company. You know, we're going to move forward. He admitted that there were some changes to be made specifically, you know, within the U.S. The thing is BlackBerry does fairly well in emerging markets and in Europe
and
outside
good in
of
Europe,
the States.
Yeah.
So he, you know, kind of like what we talked about, stressed the fact that they really need to up their game in the consumer market, particularly in the U.S. consumer market. They've built this new innovation committee that's supposed to tackle that problem that we talked about.
Innovation committee.
I know, the innovate. It's like an empty phrase. An innovation committee. The thing is, though, is Lazaridis and Balsillie are still, you know, in the picture, for better or worse. It was this big to-do, you know, obviously when they stepped down. But the interesting thing was, not only were they co-CEOs, they were co-chairmen of the board. So it was like they
co-founders too?
I think Lazaridis.
Lazaridis was, that's right.
So, you know, for years they pretty much were the face of the company and the board and just everything. And so you know, they're still in the picture. They're still on the board. I think some people feel that it would have been a better move for them to, because Heinz had previously, you know, he was an internal.
Right. He was a Rim guy.
Right.
He got promoted.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of people felt like they would have been better off to just bring a completely fresh set of eyes from somewhere else into the company and to do like a massive overhaul.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like at this point, I know they were getting a lot of pressure from shareholders to reconsider how they structure the company. And while they made a change, I think it's too early to tell whether it will be drastic enough to actually kind of reverse the trend we're seeing now.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I think we'll end on this point. I meant to mention this earlier, but I'm glad I kind of saved it because it would be a good point to kind of close out the discussion. You look at what Rim's doing, and it's kind of, it's I guess it's the opposite of what Nokia is doing. You think about Nokia, like Nokia saw its share declining. They saw it's you know, they were the biggest smartphone maker in the world. you know, it was funny. I was just watching the new Star Trek movie the other day for like the 50th time because I'm a huge Star Trek nerd. And there's like a little gag in there when like young James Kirk is like stealing his stepfather's car and he's like driving away with it, and the phone rings and it's a Nokia phone. It's like a jazzy, like that crazy smartphone
with
and
that ringtone. They have the ringtone.
Yeah, and it's got that crazy ringtone. I'm like, man, that is gonna look so dated in another year because they're nowhere to be found now. They're just not a big brand anymore in the U.S., in North America. But, you know, Stephen Elop came into that company, and he had that whole burning platform memo, sort of this call to action, really had this strong sense of urgency behind, like, changing the company and getting them, you know, back in the game. And I know they made a very controversial decision by giving up on MeeGo, which was this open source operating system that they were co-developing with Intel. And they also kind of moved away from their own Symbian like OS, their proprietary platform, to embrace Windows Phone 7. But you think about it, like, all right, well, at least they're making a bet. Like, at least they're trying to do something different. Mm-hmm. They understand what's happening in the market. They're getting left behind. They were up here, and I'm raising my hand above my head right now. But they were at the top of the mountain, and now they're down here, and they can't even see the back of Apple's jersey right now. So. Yeah. They got to do something drastic, and whether you agree with Windows Phone 7 or not, that's a pretty drastic move, and we'll see how it pays off. RIM, on the other hand, looks like kind of they're more of the stay the course, and we'll have to wait and see if that is the right call. We'll have to see. We'll check back in and see, Kristen, if you've upgraded in a few months to an iPhone, or you still have your BlackBerry, if you're still doing the thumb typing, or if you've moved to Android, who knows.
So many options.
That's another problem. God, there's so many options. Consumerization of IT. Anyway, we'll close out with that. As always, thank you for listening. I'm Rob Wright. And Kristen, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you, everyone.
And we will see you next time.